Let us pray. For this day of grace, we give you thanks, O God. In the morning, you send your people into the world to define and do their work. You guide by counseling us to love you and to love one another. Sometimes your people go out not knowing where they go, but certain that you lead. We give you thanks for all people who go out in the light of your love to serve around the world, for volunteers from churches, for envoys from governments, Peace Corps volunteers and State Department staff, for people of goodwill. Stir us with the wondrous diversity of people and languages. Stir us with the terrible inequities and make us agents of peace. Stir us to respond to places of war with actions of peace. Stir us to be generous so that people everywhere will have good food. Our prayer is spirited by the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Amen. Our speaker today has just come back from a year of service with young adults in global mission from South Africa. Caleb Sutherland is a 2012 graduate of the college and was very active in campus ministry and campus leadership while he was a student at St. Olaf. Caleb will have an information session at 11:30 in Bumtrack 222, so we hope that many of you will go and find out more about possibilities of service.
A reading from Exodus, chapter 16. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord. "What exactly is it?" I asked, as my host mother eagerly lifted the lids of two enormous bubbling cooking pots. "Well, Caleb, this is ujekre, and this is a nyama pagati. Would you like some?" "Well, Ma, I really appreciate it, but I'm not super hungry right now." "Here, Caleb, try it. It's nandigakulu. It's really delicious. I'll dish a plate for you." "But Ma, I'm not..." And off she went, that wonderful woman, to fill my plate to overflowing with food I'd never tasted before, with food I didn't even know I needed. This conversation was not an unusual one during the past year of my life in South Africa. In fact, it would be impossible to tell the story of my year there without talking about one very important theme: food. Now, you're probably not surprised to hear that trying new food was a memorable part of my international experience, and I certainly ate plenty of memorable dishes. Cow intestines, chicken feet, ox heels, and goat kidneys all found their way onto my plate in new and surprising ways. But I'm not up here to entice you, or maybe gross you out, with tales of exotic and glamorous culinary escapades from my year in South Africa. No, I'm here simply to tell a story. This is a story about a community, a tiny little neighborhood whose love for good food and intense hospitality literally kept me fed for a year of my life. But first, there are a few things you should know about me. Number one, I'm a recovering perfectionist. In other words, I'm most comfortable when I feel like I've got things under control. Number two, I hate asking for help. I would rather go through all sorts of discomfort myself than inconvenience anyone else for a precious moment of their time. Now, unfortunate type A tendencies like these may have been bearable during college when I wasn't the only one who liked to be in control and who hated asking for help. But, thank goodness, those character traits just weren't going to fly in the tiny neighborhood of Umphumulo, South Africa. For my first few weeks living in Umphumulo, I was self-sufficient, and I was miserable. I cooked my own meals, I fumbled through language and cultural barriers with the help of my Zulu English dictionary. I even found ways to feed and occupy myself when the electricity went out 5 nights in a row. I didn't need to bother anyone else for help. I have a college degree. I'm an adult. I'm self-sufficient. Yeah, right, Caleb. And then, for the first of countless times, my community saved me from myself. About a week and a half into my lonely stint of self-sufficiency, Spo and Zipe, my neighbors from across the street, knocked on my door and invited me to go for a walk with them. So we walked, and we talked about the weather, and the neighborhood, and the local soccer team, and we sang a song, and we drank tea, and we ate cakes. And it dawned on me that this was exactly what I needed. In my desperate attempt to feel put together and in control, I was starving myself of the nourishment that Spo and Zipe were so ready to give. A conversation, a walk, a song, a shared meal. The simplest and most important gifts I have ever received. In his book, Beyond Words, Frederick Buechner writes, "We don't live by bread alone, but we also don't live long without it. To eat is to acknowledge our dependence both on food and on each other. Eating is a vulnerable act. It's a visceral, physical expression of the reality that I cannot survive on my own. Just like the mysterious bread in the desert served as a reminder to the Israelites that they needed help from God, most of my South African meals were humbling symbols of my complete and utter dependence on my community. For example, I spent a few days each week helping at a nearby primary school. For at least the first few months, I would devoutly bring a peanut butter sandwich and an apple for lunch. That is, until the teachers realized that I was going to keel over if I had to eat another sandwich with mushy bread and cheap peanut butter. Caleb, come eat lunch with us, they would urge. And I watched as each teacher's lunch became part of a shared meal, as each delicious bowl of food got passed around the circle until everyone was full, including me, who had nothing special to offer. My sisters and brothers fed me. And then there were my neighbors, Sma and Jabu. Inevitably, during those weeks when I longed for the fresh fruits and vegetables that the tiny local grocery store rarely carried, they would show up at my door with a bulging bag of guava fruit, avocados, or oranges picked from their backyard and shared in abundance. My neighbors fed me. And of course, there is the Mabaso family. Over the course of 11 short months, their house became my home, and their love gave me a South African mother, father, and sisters. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I showed up at their door, hungry for companionship, and then left, fed with unrelenting hospitality, radical acceptance, and the best home-cooked food I've ever had. Throughout the year, my type A self would try to deflect their graciousness. "I don't want to bother you, you've already given me so much." And Ma, with her vivacious welcome, would respond, "Don't be ridiculous, Caleb. You're at home here. This is where you belong." My family fed me. Thanks to people like Spo and Zipe and Sma and Jabu and Ma Mabaso, the gift of being fed is transforming me. Because being fed is not a passive act. In order to be fed, we first have to be honest about the reality of our own need. Being fed means yielding control. Being fed means asking for help. Being fed means becoming vulnerable. And more than anything else, our sisters and brothers in South Africa have taught me that being vulnerable together is one of the greatest gifts we have to give. And for me, it's also one of the most challenging gifts to accept gracefully. Perhaps vulnerability is easier to come by when you've been traipsing around in a barren desert for weeks with no food. Perhaps it's easier to admit your dependence when bread literally falls out of the sky. But all too often, the story isn't quite that straightforward. Our society of excellence exalts agency and independence as valuable traits. Our hunger is often buried deep within ourselves, and our sources of spiritual and relational food aren't always as obvious as manna in the wilderness. But perhaps those sources are actually as common as the relationships that surround us every single day. Perhaps we wander around, blundering through opportunities to be fed by the conversation and trust and mutuality that lies in our path. Perhaps all it takes is a moment of Israelite-like curiosity, enough humility to stop pretending to be self-sufficient, to look at this food and say, "What is it? What is it that I need? What is it that this community has to feed me? How is it that we might feed each other?" Perhaps all it takes is a bit of vulnerability. Of course, you may answer those questions in a very different way than I do. In the midst of my clinging to control and self-sufficiency, my community in South Africa fed me with the food of acceptance, interdependence, and grace. Perhaps the deserts which you roam are far different from mine. Perhaps the hungry places in your life are not perfectionism and isolation, but loneliness, uncertainty, inequality, indifference, hopelessness, addiction, injustice, or fear. Our different lives yearn to be fed in unique ways. We hunger amidst diverse deserts of circumstance, and yet we all wonder. We all hunger, and we all need to be fed. And I believe that it is in this vulnerability, this willingness to see beauty in the fact that we are all broken human beings together. It is here where we discover what our world most desperately needs. When we can shed the pretense of self-sufficiency, when we can share genuinely in sorrow and joy, when we can embrace our dependence upon another, when we can rest in the grace of God that binds up our broken world, it is there that we are truly fed. And it is through this grace-washed vulnerability that our fragmented world might come together at the table of our common need for one another. May we continue to wander in the midst of our diverse deserts. May we open our eyes to the hungry places in ourselves and others. May we yearn for relationships built on acceptance and interdependence. May we give thanks for the bread which our communities feed us. May we rest in the peace of God's grace which binds up our brokenness. May we taste this grace in all its many flavors, colors, and cultures. May we sit together at the table of humanity with our sisters and brothers around the world. May we be fed. May our world be fed. Amen.